You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. It is our live Periscope episode of the show. And if you're listening to this right now on Twitter, you're obviously tuning in live. It'll be available in your podcast, your Apple, your iPhone, your Google Podcast, your Stitcher, your Spotify. Hopefully Spotify. We've been having some issues with them. We're going to get those cleared up for you guys, and we're going to get everything up back and running. But today's episode of Locked On Broncos is a live Periscope. We're being joined by a multitude of listeners on the Twitter sphere through Periscope. We're very excited about that. Tonight's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie. Now, think about MyBookie. Very excited about that. A lot of cool things in store. Hopefully you guys paid attention last week, but the show is brought to you by MyBookie. Today's episode, we're going to talk about some of the Pro Football Focus grades from the Broncos 20-19 victory over the Raiders week 2. Nail biter game, frustration, a lot of resiliency. I would say resiliency might be the best word to use. We're going to talk about that segment number 1, the top 5 performers on the offensive side of the ball and the low 5 performers on the offensive side of the ball and vice versa on the defensive side of the ball is where we're going to look at the coverage. The secondary didn't grade out that well, and we're going to talk about that segment 1. Segment 2, we're opening it up to you, the listeners of Locked On Broncos on Periscope. You guys ask questions. You guys give your analysis. We're going to talk about it. So EP Bronco, my man, send it to me in just a second. Segment number 2, we'll talk about the Broncos game against the Baltimore Ravens this week on the road. Stay tuned tomorrow. We have our crossover show with Locked On Ravens as well. That'll be available in your podcast tomorrow afternoon. Very excited about that episode to air. We're going to talk all things Broncos-Ravens matchup this weekend. So let's dive into it. Broncos 20-19 victory, segment number 1. Pro Football Focus grades. You know, you got the top 5 performers on the offensive side of the ball, the bottom 5 performers on the offensive side of the ball, and there's a lot of good and a lot of bad. So let's start off with number 1 here. Tim Patrick was graded as the number 1 offensive player. He had about 4 total snaps, and he made the most of his opportunity. He's in on 3 passing plays. One of the plays, he caught a pass. I could have swore under the new catch rule that his catch was really a touchdown, but the NFL ruled that it wasn't. So Tim Patrick grades overall 91 on the offensive side of the ball, 86.9 in the pass game, and 60 in the run blocking game. Only on 4 snaps, he made the absolute most of every rep he got. And on that big 26-yard run that he had, the catcher run to get out of bounds to set up Brandon McManus' game-winning field goal, that was huge. So Tim Patrick making the most of every opportunity. No surprise coming in at number 2, Emmanuel Sanders. He had 1 target in the first half. That was at the end of the second quarter on a hook and ladder play. He went on to catch 3 more passes, finished with 94 total yards receiving. He was in on 54 total snaps for the Broncos there. He graded out as a 79.2, so he was the second highest rated guy at a 79.2 overall on the offensive side of the ball, 81.3 in the pass game, that effective, and a really kind of a very poor grade in run blocking in terms of 39.6 overall grade. All of these stats courtesy of Pro Football Focus's premium edge subscription stats. Go to Pro Football Focus, get an edge subscription if you want access to this stuff. It's great stuff. We want to thank them for allowing us to use these here on Locked On Broncos here on our Periscope Tuesday. Coming in at number 3, he was Case Keenum. 77.7 overall in terms of his overall production. Had a very porous first half, terrible quarterback rating in the first half. Second half, he really got it together, had confidence, was aggressive in the right ways, didn't force things too much, and he made plays happen. He comes in at 77.7 overall. And number 4, Philip Lindsay, 75.9 overall, and more so in the passing game. He was a 57.8 and a 52.4 in terms of pass blocking. In the run game, 76.4. Very fast, very springy. My man Smith joining the broadcast here, Periscope. Thanks for joining, my man. Appreciate you. Run blocking to a grade of 60. So there's some things he's got to obviously improve on a little bit. Getting a lot of his opportunities late in games or even in the second quarter. He's got the momentum right now. He's got things going. Very cool. Pedialyte, Cody Rourke fan account. I appreciate you. You know, we got burner accounts here on Periscope with all these bots that are tuning in. Pedialyte, I love it. I used to drink that stuff for football when you cramp up. Coming in at number 5, Connor McGovern. Right guard, 74.9 overall, 83.3 pass blocking grade. He had a phenomenal game. game in terms of pass protection. That was huge for the Broncos in their production. So those are your top five: Tim Patrick, Emmanuel Sanders, Case Keenum, Philip Lindsay, Connor McGovern. And then your bottom five, man, this is a tough one right here. Andy Janovich, 57.5 overall, really 11 total snaps in the entire game. Completely. 11 snaps. We're not really seeing a lot of Andy Janovich. And unfortunately, in the run game, I feel like he could be a little bit more beneficial. I think he could be used more. However, he really wasn't. The Broncos would go with a single back there. I feel like Andy Janovich could be a good spark for the Broncos to get something going on the interior, especially with teams that just want to blitz inside A and B gaps. Use your fullback to kick him out. He comes in at 57.5 at number 15. Number 16, which is part of our bottom five here, you got Matt Paradise coming in at 56.0. In pass blocking, he was good, 78.7 overall. Run blocking, he struggled a little bit at 58.2. And really, the Raiders would pinch their ends and blitz inside the A gap. So, you know, I think most of the opportunities were really on the outside for the Broncos there. C gap, we saw Philip Lindsay really bounce inside that hole and scamper for a huge run. I mean, that's going to be something I'm going to show you guys a video this week on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. We're going to show you guys the anatomy of that play from the coach's film. We're going to give you a different angle, kind of walk through and talk through it. But Philip Lindsay's a game changer. So he, you know, Matt Paradise, very effective in springing the run, but not this week. He had a lot of struggles there. Pass block, that was phenomenal for him. 17 is Deshaun Hamilton, our third to the bottom, and he had 12 total snaps, 7 on passing, and then 5 running as a blocker. He had 61.1 as a run blocking grade. 54.5 overall on the offensive side of the ball. He comes in as number 17. Number 18, another rookie counterpart, Cortland Sutton, a guy who I felt had a touchdown catch. He played 54 total snaps on the field, getting a lot of reps, and it's evident he's the clear number 3 wide receiver. I kind of predicted last week on Lockdown Broncos he would be involved more so than he ever has been. And going back into the game, the Broncos really looked to get him involved early and often. He comes in at a 48.3 overall grade. He had one tough drop there. In the run blocking game, he's been super effective, though, on the outside edge with the 77.2 overall grade. And in terms of the passing game, the receiving game, he graded out at 45.5. Pretty low right there. I expect him to bounce back this week against the Baltimore Ravens. The Broncos are going to utilize him a lot more. And it's kind of crazy because we look at the bottom three players, and they're all wide receivers right now. Demaryius Thomas came in at the lowest grade for the Broncos at a 44.4 overall rating. Absolutely crazy. Crazy. So going back on that, 44.4, run blocking, 60.7. Craziness right there. Smithy, whatever you are, you can get banned, man. I don't have time for Periscope bots. We don't have time for that. So that's the offensive side of the ball. Let's take a look real quick at the defensive summary for the Broncos. The highest graded player, no surprise, Von Miller, 82.5, and his pass rush was 79.8. His coverage was an 80.4. So overall, Von Miller is very well balanced as one of your top guys. Behind him, Shaquille Barrett at number 2 with an 81.8 overall grade, and Bradley Chubb at an 80.9 grade. So the Broncos, their outside backers, are really getting a lot of production there in terms of that. Domantas Peko, no surprise, coming in at 4th on the defensive line. The interior, 77.6. Now in coverage, he had a 90.0 grade. We're crazy. You don't see that happen quite a bit with those guys. But tackling, he graded out low at 39.1. Pass rush, 62.6. Overall, defensively, 77.6 for Domantas Peko. Zach Kirk came in at number 5 with a 72.1. Now we got to talk about our bottom five guys. Adam Jones graded out as the lowest guy for the Broncos with a 30.1 overall grade. And pass coverage, 29.4. The Broncos secondary ranked this week 29th out of 32 in NFL pass defense, according to Pro Football Focus and their grading criteria. Very, very porous game from the Broncos secondary, which is tough, man, because if you guys know me, you know I'm a Denver Broncos. I'm a defensive backs type guy. I love the cornerbacks. Press man-to-man coverage. You got to be playing that. The Broncos are playing 8 yards off on 3rd and 2. They're playing 10 yards off on 1st and 10. You got to play tight against some of these quick offenses that like to get the ball quickly. So, you know, I think the Ravens are going to look at film and say, okay, well, the corner's going to play that far off. We're going to go with a quick passing game like the Raiders utilize against the Broncos. That's what I would do if I'm an offensive coordinator. Adam Gotsis came in second to last, 45.6. Didn't really have a great game. Todd Davis, Brandon Marshall, inside backers, struggled as well. And at 15, you had Bradley Roby, your fifth to last person. Graded out 52.8 overall, 50.1 grade in pass coverage. That is very, very concerning there. Not really the best week, you know, for Chris Harris Jr. and the entire Broncos secondary. None of those guys were really effective in terms of stopping the run game and obviously in the passing game specifically. You know, you held Jared Cook to 4 catches, 49 yards, but you allowed Amari Cooper to go off for over 10 catches and over 100 yards. That's not the game plan. You know, you neutralize one guy, but you gave up another option there. As EP Bronco said, we're probably going to see Josie Jewell get more snaps. He actually came in at number 7. He had 14 total snaps on the field, 69.6 grade. Most of the stuff is light green. In terms of tackling, he graded out really high to 75, which is pretty green right there. Do you wish the Browns got Chubb so Broncos could have snagged Denzel Ward? Nah. I don't know. Bradley Chubb is a guy you can't pass up on. The Broncos couldn't pass up on him. Denzel Ward, a talented player. The Broncos really hurting at secondary at corner right now. So that's one of those, you know, I don't know type of moves right there. But Bradley Chubb playing really well for the Broncos early on. A lot of people said that Colton Miller shutting down. That didn't actually happen. If you go back and you watch the game, the Broncos were really stout overall in terms of run defense and really setting the edge. I thought they did a very good job containing Marshawn Lynch. They did a phenomenal job there. But Denzel Ward, like you said, thick squad. Looking really good there for the Browns. So that is our Pro Football Focus segment of the show. I mentioned at the top of the hour that our show was brought to you by MyBookie. Now, MyBookie is the one-stop shop for all reliable sports betting. The Broncos are underdogs this week. And they offer a variety of amazing features through MyBookie that you can actually bet on the game and obviously make things happen. So you can make live in-game bets. You can even bet the over, the under on fantasy football. And if you really want to do that, really invest in how many points is this player going to score in a fantasy football game, you could bet money and win money based on the over and under if you're confident in that. And MyBookie, they're slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everybody the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits made of over $100. So join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25. That's one word, LOCKEDON25, to activate the offer today. You visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account, where you can claim up to $1,000 in free money during free play with the Locked On Broncos podcast. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 of free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys, but I would wait till after dinner. Take the extra money. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. All right, jumping into it now, we're going to head to the Periscope listeners of Locked On Broncos. You guys ask the questions. You guys give the analysis. You guys get to do all that stuff. So this is part of you guys really giving your feedback to the show. So we're talking Broncos, big win, 20-19 over the Raiders. Big game this week on the road. First real test, in my opinion. You're away from home. You're on the road. And you go down there to Baltimore. It's a tough place to play. Joe Flacco doing all that stuff. So we're going to take to the listeners of Locked On Broncos right away. So Cortland Sutton, was Cortland Sutton robbed? To be honest with you, I right now I have the dilemma in my head. I have no idea what is a catch and what isn't a catch anymore in the NFL. I thought we had clarification in this offseason that regardless, you get 2 feet in bounds and you have the ball down and you go down, and even if the ball comes out as soon as you hit the ground, it's still a touchdown. So to be honest with you, I don't know about that. I felt like he was robbed because if you go back on the replay, I think if they would have called it a touchdown, I think the play would have stood. Because when you look at it, he got 1 foot in, and then it looked like you really couldn't tell. It was the whole dilemma between a white shoe and the white sideline. Does it touch the sideline? Does it touch the white out-of-bounds part of the end zone? You really couldn't tell. But it looked like, to be honest with you, his foot came up and like it didn't even touch the white. So that happened. His thigh, his knee, or his elbow hit the ground. That's 2 points of contact. In my opinion, I felt that's a touchdown. I'm hoping that the NFL can go back and look at it. So it's just that whole dilemma that you really look at with the Will Parks incident with the blocked field goal against the New Orleans Saints. You have that whole dynamic there where you really can't tell. His shoe's white, the sideline is light. I don't know. Nick Maloney, what are the chances Josie Jewell ends up taking starter job from Todd Davis? I feel the defense would benefit. I think Josie Jewell is a better coverage option right now than Brandon Marshall or even Todd Davis at this point. I think both. Josie Jewell has better instincts, in my opinion, in a lot of those cases. I think Todd Davis, Brandon Marshall are great pieces in the run game, but you have to have a guy to be able to cover out of the backfield. And we've seen Brandon Marshall's play kind of drop off in a sense where, in terms of coverage, he had a guy by the name of Danny Trevathan that that really helped out with him in terms of being able to complement his ability. So you haven't had that there. I'm very excited about Josie Jewell. I like his energy. I like that he's got a nose for the football. That's something that he's been really touted out of college, out of Iowa. He likes to get to the football. I think that's super important. And for the Broncos, it can't hurt. It really can't hurt to have a linebacker on the inside that can cover. So I can imagine he might get more snaps. Von Miller calls him Red Beard. So if Von Miller likes Josie Jewell, I like Josie Jewell. But yeah, when I've seen from him, he's always great. He makes tackles. Hoodie Sutton, why is Booker starting over Lindsey? Now, there's been a lot of talk around Broncos country regarding the starting running back position. Royce Freeman, by nature, by default through preseason, was named number one. However, Philip Lindsay had the most carries this week out of all the tailbacks. He had 14 compared to Royce Freeman's 8 and compared to, I believe, Devontae Booker's 3 total carries, 3 or 4 total carries. So the Broncos are really utilizing a tailback by committee approach here, which isn't a bad thing. I think that's an awesome thing for the Broncos to do because it keeps guys fresh. You have a little bit of more a dynamic approach as an offensive coordinator. You know, with Philip Lindsay, he's that kind of matchup where it's really based on game planning for, okay, who are their outside linebackers? Who are their inside backers? Are they going to match up against a small guy? Philip Lindsay's so quick, very quick. Thick squad, what's up with Demaryius Thomas? Will he put up any production this year? Yeah, I think he will. Now, he just came off, I think this might have been his worst game of his career as a Denver Bronco, personally just watching it. Just the amount of, he just didn't have it. He wasn't feeling it, and you could tell on film, he wasn't really different right there. So at that point, he had that key drop on third down. That was huge. And then he had that drop late in the game on the final drive that was wide open. That would have put you in a closer field goal range. He dropped it. So that right there, that was kind of frustrating to watch. And I know fans are booing him. I know fans are really hard on Demaryius Thomas. And a lot of fans are saying, well, I could do that. Well, go in that situation as a normal average Joe or a guy that's not a professional athlete. Go in there and try to do that. Pressure situation with, tough defenders, fast NFL defenders matching up against you. Loud fans, sometimes for even the average guy who sits at home and watches it on TV, they're like, oh, I can make that play. And in real life, you can't make that play. I'm sorry. Or else you'd be there. Chances we trade for a number one corner. That's a good question. Now, my good friend, Sarah Bettinger, he's the editor over at Predominantly Orange. I write with him over there at predominantlyorange.com. Check it out if you guys want to get some daily Broncos content. He made a tweet yesterday over on Twitter pondering that, not necessarily something that's going to happen, but what if the Broncos decided to try to trade for a Patrick Peterson, a guy who, in my opinion, I think still has two and a half to three years of prime still left in his ability. The Broncos right now are hurting at corner. Chris Harris is doing all he can. Bradley Roby, I don't know if he's ready for that number two role yet, but that, to be honest with you, I'm not the person to talk to about that because I can't determine who's a number two guy. Bradley Roby, ideally, I thought he had a pretty good game when he was playing press man coverage. However, the corners' issue this past week is they were playing so far off the ball. That was really, really hurting them. So, Chris Harris, I think he's a number one corner. I think he's earned that moniker. He's a great guy. He can play outside. He can play inside. That makes him a very valuable corner. He's a number one corner, in my opinion. Number two, though, I'm kind of up in the air with. Number three, I'm really up in the air with, too, with Tremaine Brock, Pac-Man Jones. Both those guys struggled. Bradley Roby, late in the game on Mari Cooper, did great. I can't believe they called an actual a double pass interference play there. That was kind of tricky to me. I'm not sure exactly why they did that, but I guess that's one of those bailout plays that the refs wanted to do. It was a really weird, and I think overall on both sides of the ball, I think the game wasn't that officiated that well. I don't think it was efficiently officiated, if you know what I mean there. But overall, Bradley Roby's got to step up this week. Tremaine Brock, they've got to all step up. Pac-Man's got to step up. EP Bronco says Pac-Man just needs to get back in shape. He'll be okay. I think he will. You could tell, though, looking at the Oakland Raiders wide receivers, they are much bigger. You could look at them in comparison to Pac-Man Jones. Pac-Man Jones is a small corner. He's not a big corner. So really kind of going back and watching film, he was really outsized. Hoodie Sutton says, if you had to get rid of one vet wide receiver, would you drop DT or Emmanuel? Man, why do you got to do these questions to me? Why do you got to put me in that situation? I think based on production, Emmanuel Sanders is playing really well right now. If I had to choose between those two right now, based on everything right now, I would choose Emmanuel Sanders to stay on the Broncos. And it was crazy last year, there was a lot of talk in the offseason that the Broncos might look to get rid of him. I'm glad the Broncos didn't because right now there's a little bit of flux. I know Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, they're still getting in there. Tim Patrick's still getting in there. The Broncos have these options that are developing really nicely for them that I think are going to contribute long term. So very excited about Cortland Sutton and them. like Hoodie says, Emmanuel Sanders is the go-to wide receiver right now for the Broncos and Case Keenum. They're reliable targets right now. They got great chemistry. You could tell. DT's the guy, like Hoodie says, when you need a first down and it's a second and five and you run a curl to the sticks, he's the guy I trust the most to catch that pass. Now, when he's running crossing routes, deep slants, deep post patterns, those are where he has a lot of drops. Not really the curl, the hitch routes. He's really good at catching those, or the snag routes, the snag concepts. He does a great job of catching those. The other ones, it's a little up in the air right there. So segment three, we're going to continue talking. It's a Broncos talk for a few minutes, but before I get into that, I want to tell you guys about Swap. Now, isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothings? Why do we buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where you could discover a lot of awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. It's called swap.com. Now, it is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store, and you can stop driving store to store after sifting through all the racks trying to find the right size for you. You can easily sift through millions of clothes in just seconds on Swap with an easy-to-use filter. And what happens there is there's over 14 million tons of textiles that are wasted every single year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com, it helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. Swap.com is the largest online consignment thrift store, and with that, you can save up to 90% off of retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and even Gap. They have quality hand-inspected items that are added to the lineup every single day, and if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free return within 30 days, and you have a special offer for being a listener of Locked On Broncos. Special offer code is 35% off of select items from your first order with using the promo code Locked On. Once again, if you use promo code Locked On your first order, you'll get 35% off. Plus, find new deals every single day on swap.com's homepage. All right, jumping into it. Segment three. You know, we're going to kind of break down. Let's look a little bit ahead to the Baltimore Ravens here. The Ravens on Thursday Night Football lost to the Bengals. AJ Green went off on the Bengals secondary. On the Ravens secondary. The Ravens, Joe Flacco, continues to still be a little figment of Ravens fans' imagination. You go back to the history. You have Joe Flacco going into Denver, the divisional game, beating them. Raheem Moore giving up that big pass. It's going to be a tough road game. The last time the Broncos went on the road to play the Ravens, they won. Chris Harris Jr. had a pick six on Joe Flacco in the goal line. Tough, tough win for the Broncos at that point. That was an on-the-road win at Baltimore. The Broncos as well dismantled the Ravens with that Peyton Manning 7-touchdown performance. You know, like you said, you have John Brown, you have Jeremy Maclin, you have Michael Crabtree, some receiving options. Right now, if you're an offensive coordinator, you're looking at how often the Broncos secondary is really struggling right now, and you're kind of licking your chops a little bit. You're getting a little excited. If they're going to play 5-6 to even 10 yards off the ball, I'm throwing quick slants, one-step slants, smoke routes. I'm trying to get the ball into a playmaker's hand and hoping he can get upfield and at least get 5 to 6 yards, and I'm doing that per pop. That's what the Raiders did to the Broncos, essentially creating a little bit of a formula right here where I think offenses can now find a way to neutralize Von Miller. Von Miller can wreck a game if your quarterback has to sit in the pocket. So you have to, as an offensive coordinator, go with a quick passing emphasis. That's what John Gruden did. John Gruden saw what Von Miller did to Russell Wilson, the most agile, the most elusive mobile quarterback in the NFL. 3-sack performance in that game. Derek Carr, not really a mobile guy, but if he stands back in the pocket, he's going to get sacked. So John Gruden simplified it for Derek Carr. Quick passing game. We're throwing the out route. We're throwing the quick slant. We're throwing the hitch. We're throwing the smoke route. And we're going to take an occasional shot down deep once to Amari Cooper or other options. And we're going to try to hit Jared Cook on a one-step slant across the middle of the field because the Broncos linebackers aren't that great in coverage. These are areas I'm attacking if I'm an offensive coordinator for them as well. So coming into this game, let's talk about, you know, let's head to the Periscope chat room right now. Let's hear from some fans. What are your thoughts on the Broncos having to go on the road this week to take on the Ravens? You know, we had a couple fans mention it was going to be very, very tough. It's going to be a tough test, I think, for the Broncos. Getting out, you know, you have your first two games at home. That's great. Well, really what defines the test of a true team, what's the real mark of a team is how do you play on the road? Can you prepare well enough to where you're traveling and you do good enough to where you go into hostile territory, and can you put together four quarters of effective football? Can you minimize mistake? EP Bronco says special teams will decide this game. Marquette King flipping field position. That's going to be huge. Brandon McManus kicking field goals, converting, doing what he's done so far that he's done in the first two games. Brandon McManus has had a tremendously different year so far to start the season than he did last year. That's huge for the Broncos. And, you know, but like I said, the real test for your team early on in the season, can they minimize mistakes? Can they come into a game and fix some of those errors that really they struggled with in weeks one and two, even at home? Nacho says the next couple of games will say a lot about this team. I absolutely agree. Going on the road, you have the game this week against the Ravens, and then the next week you have a home game against a division rival in the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be a tough game. They're playing really well right now. Patrick Mahomes looks better than what we thought he would. He's really playing well. You know, he went against the Steelers defense. Is that really a good measure? I'm not sure. I'm really not. But he ate up the Steelers defense big time. And Tyreek Hill continues to be a scary weapon for the Chiefs. And then you factor in Kareem Hunt as an effective running option. I think the Broncos will have their hands full these next 2 weeks with the Ravens on the road and then at home against Kansas City, which we'll have a crossover show for each show. We're going to be joined tomorrow by the host of Locked On Ravens. And then today, we're going to get into next week talking about with Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs in a crossover show. But a lot of crazy stuff there. The Ravens defense, I think they're aggressive now with C.J. Mosley getting hurt. I think week one, the Broncos can attack the middle of the field a little bit. Other than that, I think the Ravens have a pretty solid defense. They have some young playmakers that I think can match up pretty well if the Broncos can't really utilize the speed of Deshaun Hamilton, Emmanuel Sanders, or the size matchup of Cortland Sutton, Demaryius Thomas, and even get the tight end more involved this week. It's going to be a little difficult for the Broncos, I think, to move the ball, but you have to have that effective balance of running the ball and passing it. And really, if you can get that matchup on the outside with Phillip Lindsay, utilize that. Utilize that in a one-on-one situation. Motion him out, throw the quick arrow route, or even match him up in the slot and have him run. You know what? They have Christian McCaffrey running down there in Carolina. Keenum can't throw picks into this game at all. I agree. Essentially, Case Keenum's got to come into this game and essentially play error-free football. Anytime you go on the road, you have to have the mindset that you're down 14 points. So I think the Broncos in preparation, they got to come in, focus on what can we do to succeed. I think keys to the game, limit turnovers, reduce the amount of errors that you can have. I think the Broncos can be very, very successful. So that'll do it here. I don't think they're going to have Lamar Jackson in a package this week unless Joe Flacco gets hurt. They're always going to prepare, but they're not going to have him in a package this week against the Broncos. So that'll do it for our Tuesday edition of Periscope. We'll be back next week for another live Periscope broadcast of Locked On Broncos. This episode is available right now if you're listening to it. It'll be available shortly if you're watching the live Twitter Periscope edition right now. It'll be available on your iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. This is your host, Cody Rourke. Shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Tomorrow, we have the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Ravens crossover show. It'll be in your podcast library in the afternoon. Check it out. Thank you once again for tuning in.